Hello, everybody, and welcome back into another playoff preview show here at the Hockey Writers. And we're up to the New York Islanders and Carolina Hurricanes. And this seems like a repeat. It is, because they did face each other last year in the playoffs, and the Carolina Hurricanes beat the Islanders. And I've got Mike Fink here and Zach Martin. Zach, you weren't here last year when we did this preview, but so we do have a new face on this one. So there's something new. How's it going?
Doing good. Can't complain. You know, just finally got the regular season somewhat over, despite, you know, teams still somehow playing. But I'm honestly just ready for some playoff hockey. But how are you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing good. I've recorded a bunch of previews already. I hate the quick turnaround after the regular season to the playoffs. You got to record so many in a row. But yeah, it's been fun so far to get set up for this. How's it going, Mike?
I'm good. We're back and we're ready for the playoffs. There's I call these next 2 months or 3 months the sleep deprivation months. I don't know what time it is, but it's great. It's always the best time. I mean, like, as tired as you may be, this is the best time of year. I love this.
For sure.
And I can't wait till we just get those games underway. And the first, I mean, yeah, each series I'm excited for. But yeah, I can't wait to get into this.
For sure. This is my first feeling of doing this at the Hockey Writers, because the Canucks have not made the playoffs in like forever. The bubble playoffs, I was here. But that's not the playoffs. It's not the same as what it is in the regular time without COVID. So, and let's get on into this series here and talk a bit about these teams. I'll start with you, Mike. The Islanders, it was very up in the air if they were going to even make the playoffs this season. And, you know, they changed coaches, looked like that they were going to be maybe missing it. They could lose a GM. I don't know. There was a whole bunch of stuff going on. Patrick Watt takes over. How do you see this season for the Islanders and how they played against the Hurricanes throughout?
Yeah, I think the big thing that I keep pinching myself and reminding myself as the season was going on is how long the season really is. It's felt like a few seasons in one for the Islanders. I'd like to say it aged me a lot, but I'm not a Red Wings fan. If you're a fan of them, that really aged you. But it was a long season where you had months where you were like, okay, this team's never going to make it to the playoffs and what the future holds with Lamoriello and stuff. And there were months where it's like, oh yeah, they can get it together. They'll be fine. And it's, yeah, you've had those, the wild ride that ends up seeing them get, not just make the playoffs, but end up being the 3 seed. And we're getting a rematch against the Hurricanes. The regular season, I don't really take much consideration, don't thought into the regular season matchups, because a few of them were in December, and I just thought back, I'm like, both teams were not nearly the same teams back in December or November when they played each other. And you just look at both of them, and it's like completely different rosters. I mean, Islanders have a new head coach, and it's just like, you're looking at, yeah, there are some returning pieces for both teams, but that's what's good about this year. It's a rematch, but it's going to be a little different, a little bit of a different flavor to it, which is going to be exciting. So that's what's interesting about that.
All right, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like you said, yeah, three of the matchups were before 2024 started. And, you know, you got only one. March 19th is the only one that is recent. And the current Hurricanes won that 4-1. So, Zach, over to you. I mean, the Hurricanes have been dominant all season. They've, you know, it was a given they were going to make the playoffs. They could have even won the division. Didn't end up doing that. So they're in the 2 seed. What do you think about their season overall? Made a ton of changes at the trade deadline, brought in a couple big pieces. One, Jake Guentzel. I mean, that was maybe out of left field. I don't know if anyone really anticipated that happening, but he's here. He's fit in perfectly into the lineup. What do you think about this season overall for the Hurricanes here?
I mean, if you ask any Carolina Hurricanes fans, probably in the first couple months, you'd think the sky was falling just because the way, like, the West Coast trip didn't go as well as you thought it would. You know, you lose 6-3 to the Ducks. So yeah, that's a great start. And then you look at the Western Canadian road trip where you basically gets you go 0 for 4 and you lose to the Canucks, and then you, it leads to an only players meeting, and that meeting kind of just kicked off what we saw for the rest of the regular season. So Matt, I guess I have to thank you for making the team have a meeting to then just kind of turn it around. So I guess Elias Pettersson basically was like, all right, here's the catalyst for the team to actually get better and start playing good. But yeah, no, I would say overall, outside of that, I think since like December 12th, it was just an insane run for the Hurricanes. Like, if you look at it points wise, yeah, they could have gone that pace, 123 points for the season. Obviously, you didn't get there, but I mean, the Rangers were good all season as well. Yeah, the Hurricanes kind of had some chances to get back in it. Unfortunately, dropped some games, you know, when they didn't really need to. I think the first couple months kind of didn't really set them up perfectly. But after that, I think they played really great hockey. Of course, you know, had to go through the whole goalie process of the fact you lose Frederik Andersen for over 40 games. He does come back, you know, right on the same night that the team gets Jake Guentzel, which is kind of huge. So you're kind of like getting your number one goalie back, but Piotr Kochetkov played really well when they needed him, even Spencer Martin too. So it was a very interesting time trying to go through like four or five different goalies, you know, with the honor of Peretz as well, for just even for a little bit. And like I said, the Aaron Taranta goes back and forth to the American and stuff like that. But I'd say overall it was a really great season. Yeah, would you want to have had your third straight Metro Division, your fourth overall division title in the last 4 years, if you count the Discover Central Division of that whole mess? Take that as you will. But I'd say overall it was a great season. Like you said, you get Jake Guentzel. You know, the Hurricanes are rumored with Elias Pettersson trades, Trevor Zegras at some points, and you name a guy, the Hurricanes are somewhat related to, you know, in the talks of that, and it all worked out. So luckily, you know, they were able to, you know, get him. Also got Ty Smith in the trade that sent, you know, Michael Bunting and a lot of prospects. And then you give Gabe Kuznetsov for half his contract, and he's with the team all next season too. Now he gave up, it was like, what, a 2026 third? So not too much of bad additions, if you really ask me. But overall, great season. Turbulent start for the first couple months, then you had to deal with the goalie crisis. But overall, you know, just excited the fact that they played really well. And like Mike said, it's a very different look of how these two teams are this year compared to last year. And it's going to be very, very interesting to see, you know, do we get last year's, you know, drag out six games of everyone just beating up on each other for the first round. So, but it's gonna be fun though. You know, it's always good to, you know, maybe continue a new rivalry in the playoffs with the New York Islanders and on Long Island. I know better not to say in, because I will get yelled at for. So I always know to say on Long Island. I know better.
And it's on and on an island, not in an island.
Yeah, they'll let you know. They'll let you
Right.
know.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, both teams have got their players to watch, their stars, and I'll start with you. I'll stay with you, Zach, on this. Players to watch for the Hurricanes in this series. I mean, you've got, like I say, you've got your stars. You got Sebastian Aho, who was really good against the Islanders last year in that first round. Probably one of the reasons they won it. Who are you watching throughout this series? I mean, there's so many names and so many different things, but who are you watching closely as it said, get started here?
Oh man, I mean, like you said, Matt, you talk Sebastian Aho. I mean, the Finnish version of Sebastian Aho, not the defenseman, but you know,
Oh my God.
I
If
swear.
yes, if I have to hear that on ESPN again, I might have to throw a shoe at the TV. Like, I get it. They have the same name. We've
Yeah,
heard this
trust me.
before.
We've all talked about Dan Carolina and stuff like that. It's just like, please, for the love of gosh. It's basically dragging on the ground at this point. That's how much of a low-hanging fruit this thing is. Like, can we just stop? It's either way. But yeah, like you said, Sebastian Aho, obviously Jake Guentzel, because you know the fact that how good he is in the playoffs and stuff, and then he's been fantastic with the Hurricanes. You know, talking about Jacob Slavin, how just lights out he is on defense, Frederik Andersen. I would say the guy who's had a breakout season in a contract year, because he's gonna be an RFA, but you're kind of wondering, do you see a 3-year bridge or do you see a long-term contract? And I'm talking about Seth Jarvis, because oh my absolute goodness, this guy just absolutely took off. like I think it was what, 33 goals, 34 assists. He's got 67 points, and like that's the and like that's most again across the board. Like he had 17 goals his rookie season and 40 points. That was like the best season he had. You look at a sophomore slump. If you ask him, he just made his 200-foot game so much better. That's why you see him on power plays, penalty kills, defensive face-offs. Like he basically is like the Swiss Army knife of what Rod Brind'Amour wants, and that's what last year was. And then he comes into this year and absolutely just lights it on fire. Like 13 power play goals. Like the most he had in the first two seasons was two combined, and he had 13 this year, and he had 9 game winning goals, which is one behind Sebastian Aho who had 10. So if I'm talking about an X factor or a guy to keep an eye on for this first round, you can't look past the guy who's Seth Jarvis, who's 22 years old and is basically second in every single stat category for the Hurricanes this year. Oh, and he was fourth in hits, and he's listed at 5'10", a buck 75. So yeah, he's not afraid to throw around the body a little bit.
I absolutely love Seth Jarvis. He when he was drafted, I raved about him all draft year. Like the guy is just he's great, and he's proven me right. That's all I was
I
talking about him.
mean,
He's gonna be a star in the NHL, and he
yeah,
definitely
I
is.
mean, if you ask me, if you do that redraft where he goes, I say at least third at the worst. He's easily
Oh.
top three if you redo that draft.
I totally agree on that one.
Thank you, Toronto, for that draft pick for the Patrick Marleau trade. I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, for sure.
Like you mentioned, how he's an RFA where it's like they're gonna have to figure that out. I'm like, they'll figure it out after the playoffs. Let's focus on
Yeah,
the trial.
it's gonna be done. It's just what, how long, and how much. I mean, we're not in a hurry here. He's 22. We'll be fine. He's gonna be a Hurricane for life. You can't give him a guy like that. I'm sorry, you just can't.
No, and that's a something for the off season. We'll talk about
Oh yeah.
that then.
Oh yeah.
All right, over to you, Mike. Who are you watching for the Islanders? I mean, they've got their stars, Matt Barzal, Bo Horvat. Another great season for him. Another 30-goal season. Has fit in again perfectly for the Islanders, coming over from the Canucks last season. I also got a few other guys, depth pieces. Who are you watching throughout this series?
Yeah, I like how a year ago when we were talking about Bo Horvat, it was a concern because he disappeared after the trade deadline. He was a non-factor in the first round. And now it's like, oh yeah, watch out for Bo Horvat, watch out. The hilarious, not hilarious part, but the interesting part about the Islanders this season is that they don't have the same depth that they used to have. It used to be the team relied on depth to make those deep playoff runs under Barry Trotz. And now it's a top-heavy roster where you have Barzal, Bo Horvat, Brock Nelson, Kyle Palmieri, they basically account for most, if not all, the goals that the Islanders scored this season. And Dobson at the point was most of the most of the offensive production from the defensive unit. So you look at it's a very top-heavy roster. So I think those are your players. I would say to watch out for Noah Dobson because he is dealing with an injury where it's day-to-day upper body injury type of situation. And you're gonna expect him to play for the playoffs. I mean you would be maybe he'll miss a game or two, but like you expect him to be ready for that. But with all these injuries, and this is something that even when they're day-to-day and they're oh yeah, they're gonna power through it. If you're getting an 80% Dobson, is that the same as it's not the same. And it affects everything, especially with the Islanders who don't have the same production from their defensemen in the offensive zone. So, and he basically is their production. 10 goals, 60 assists. He's their offense there. So, if you get a 80% Dobson, that just changes everything for them. So he's really like the player to watch to see like okay, what's the situation heading into this. And I mean, yeah, in terms of like other stars, it's really yeah, Barzal, Horvat, that connection. The offense goes with that with them. The Hurricanes are going to try to take that away, those two away, and that's really where I mean the series basically. On the other end, I'd say it's the same way with Sebastian Aho, where it's like the Hurricanes are gonna not go not going to be relying on him as much. They are though gonna their offense runs a lot through what he does and what he's able to do with just all the stuff that he could do also. I think those are the stars basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably going to be centered around those guys, but always the depth always seems to come to play in the playoffs too. And that's what always is something that you have to watch as well.
I was trying to find a Paul Stastny for this year, because last year he scored he scored 3 goals, including the overtime winner in game 6 for the Hurricanes. Yeah. And he came out of nowhere. And I was like, okay, who's this year's Paul Stastny?
We'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Zach, how are the Hurricanes going to win this series? What's some keys to victory for them? I mean, they are going in, obviously, probably as the favorites. They are the higher seed, of course. But what do they need to do to win this series?
I would say probably try to just stay structured in your defense. Don't get too crazy with it. Do what's worked for you all season. You know, not a lot of teams can play man, and the way that the Hurricanes do it does make sense. If you can basically essentially shut down Horvat and Barzal, I think you're going to be fine. I mean, now that's not taken away from Palmieri, Zekas, all the other guys too. Because, I mean, let's be honest, there's a lot of sneaky good Islanders guys. Mm-hmm. That's a team where it's like people want to talk about, oh, they're boring and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, no, they just know how to grind you out, and they have guys who can't score. It may not be pretty, but they can't score, and that's why they made the playoffs again, and that's why they got the number 3 seed. You don't just luck your way into the playoffs. Like, you kind of play up to, you know, now if you're Florida, that's a different story like last year, but I digress. But no, it's just shutting down the big boys and also making sure that you're not sleeping on the rest of the lineup. And if you do that, you're fine. And if you get any remnants of what Frederik Aaronson was last year in the playoffs, where he played out of his mind, you're good. And even if he just carries the momentum from this regular season where you're 9-1-0, it's like a sub 1.3 goals against since being back as well. And if save percentage in the high 930s, I think you're going to be fine, just as long as your defense does what they do. As long as you have really good goaltending, and please, for the love of absolute gosh, do not take a million penalties just because you're the Carolina Hurricanes. Because I know you're first in the PK, but no, I don't want to say it's having like 90% PK, because we've done like, we're getting like 3 or 4 I know it's the playoffs and not a lot of penalties happen, but let's be honest, it doesn't make sense how the Hurricanes are once again the number 1 PK team in the league for like what, a third straight season.
So, yeah.
Just try to limit all that as much as you can, and just try to stay in your lane of playing sound defense, but also making sure that you're getting the big boys are scoring too.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also get depth scoring as well, while trying to shut down the Islanders and not overlook the rest of the team, like I said. So
yeah,
essentially just do that and you'll be okay.
For sure. Mike, what about the Islanders? I mean, they're obviously, again, the bottom seed, so they're going to be going in as an underdog, I guess. What do they need to do to win this series and exact some revenge from that first round last year?
Yeah, I mean, you could say the cliche stuff like depth scoring, or you out goaltend the Hurricanes. That could be an interesting thing, just because of the way both teams are going. I mean, going with goaltenders that you don't know if either head coach will have a short leash or not. Mm-hmm. And the Islanders actually have more of a short leash because you have Sorokin as a backup ready to go. But I think if there is something I think the Islanders have to do that was different from last season, is they need to be able to win, not just win in a variety of ways. It's a cliche that I keep saying almost in every article. I'm like, every good cup team wins in a variety of ways. They can win high scoring games, they can win low scoring games, they can win fast games, slow games. The Islanders, for a while, and really last season in the first round, it was they can only win one way. A lot of players on their team are one trick pony guys, where it's like Anders Lee, for example, where it's like he knows where his bread is buttered, he finishes scoring chances, but he's not going to create offense, he's not going to find open skaters in the pass. Barzal, for a while, it was, he's a good passer, he can create offense with his speed and get skaters open, but he's not going to shoot the puck on net, and he's not going to find the back of net himself. The big thing for the Islanders is they're going to feel uncomfortable in this series. The Hurricanes are going to make them uncomfortable. And it's if Barzal, who's been shooting a lot this season and actually has 23 goals, I believe, if he could create offense by himself, and that opens up Bo Horvat. If you have Horvat finding Barzal, which has happened a few times this season as well, and then really, I've been talking a lot about this top line, this connection, but you need the rest of the forward unit to be able to win in a variety of ways, where not just I mean be able to beat the Hurricanes in multiple ways. And then yeah, the other thing that can help them win is outs if assuming Dobson's back and he's full strength, having someone else at the blue line who can create offense, because they've not had that, and the Hurricanes have. And it's a clear gap between both teams when you see Brent Burns and he had 5 assists last season in the first round, and that was a huge gap. You have you need it. You need defensemen who could do that, and I think
Yeah,
that's another thing.
for sure. Yeah, the Hurricanes just they run their defense has so many goals and so many points. And that's a big part that you have to worry about for the Hurricanes whenever you play against them, for sure. Michael, stay with you. What's something you're worried about? A weakness that the Islanders have that you think could be an Achilles heel that could just lose them the series?
I mean, for a team that didn't score over 3 goals per game at the end of the season, a team that allowed over 3 goals per game, basically below average in both, there's a lot of things I could say, like, okay, what weaknesses? I'll just point to one, which is that the Hurricanes have the second best power play in the NHL, or definitely top five. And they
Second,
have the
you're
best.
right. It's second.
Okay, number two. I don't know if it changed after game 82 or whatever. All these stats, like I'm saying off the top of my head, and I'm like, after game 82, any of this could have changed. Like, well, there's also games tomorrow night where it's like, oh yeah, someone can, yeah. Anyway, they're number two in power play, and they're number one in PK. And the Islanders are below average in both. So, if the penalties start adding up, and last season they did at times when you had Matt Martin taking a 5-minute penalty, or
Oi, dude.
Kyle Clutterbuck taking a 5-minute penalty, and it's like if those penalties start adding up, and if the Islanders want to make it a slow, grinded out series, they could take a few of those penalties. That's where you could see the series really getting out of hand for the Islanders and becoming a quick series for the Hurricanes, where they have the power play to do it. They have the and they have the PK rule, and the Islanders' power play really has been. Gotten has really gotten worse as the season has progressed, which is a story onto its own. So just like you want to, I guess like you want this series to be a 5-on-5 series for seven games, and then you're like, oh yeah, then we got a chance, and then we got a good chance at this. But that's the one thing that you're like, oh yeah, this can easily make the series a
For sure.
lopsided series.
Special teams. And it is less a factor in the playoffs because there's not as many penalties, but when they do happen, that's where it can change. Zach, what about you? Are a weakness that the Hurricanes have? They don't have many of them, but what's something that could potentially derail a series here?
It's going to be a cliche answer, but well, I mean, we saw it last year going into the playoffs and even in the first round against the Islanders, and it's injuries because we lose Andrei Svechnikov like not even a week after the trade deadline, and you're kind of like, okay, crap, you just lost one of your top score, one of your good scorers for the rest of the season with his I think it was his ACL or one of his ligaments in his knee just decided to give out. And then you lose Teuvo Teravainen in the first round of the playoffs when he gets slashed on the wrist, and I think it was his wrist or his hand got broke, and you miss him for the rest of that series and half of round two. And that's the one thing you kind of have to, because yeah, like you said, Matt, there's a lot of scorers, there's a lot of guys they can turn to, especially guys who are healthy scratches like Jesper Kotkaniemi, who started the season hot. Kind of his game kind of changed throughout the season. Yeah, the points weren't there, but he scored as of late too, going into the playoffs. But it's like you don't want to have injuries, because even if, like, say, with Frederik Anderson or Pekka Cechek, you really don't want to go without, if one of those guys go down, yeah, you could use Spencer Martin, but you're kind of behind the eight ball then, because if anything else happens, well, it should really have. So, like I said, it's a cliche answer, but I would say if injuries really start to occur with this team, then we're talking about a whole different problem. And I would say if you want to talk about another one that could happen is if somehow the offense just dries up and they stop scoring. But with the guys, like when you have Jake Guentzel and how Aho played, and how, like, he was like 1 point short of 90, Seth Jarvis was three short of 70. It, as long as the offense doesn't dry up and we don't have injuries, I think the Hurricanes are going to be fine. But those are the two, I guess, weaknesses if you really want to look at it. It's just, you got to hope one of those two things don't happen, because if not, oh boy, you're going to be in trouble, especially with, Mike said, with the Islanders. They can, if you stop scoring and the Islanders just drag you out for a whole series where you're going seven games, it's going to be a long playoff series, and I don't care who you are. You could be the Vegas Golden Knights or the Canucks or who, or the Dallas Stars. You
I
stop
would
scoring,
wonder.
you're in trouble.
I would wonder, is goaltending not, the all season, really beginning of the season, the whole question mark was if goaltending could be the thing that derails them. Is that not a concern anymore? I mean, it seems like almost it's gone away, not completely, but is that not something you could say, like, could be a weakness just compared to what it was beginning of the season?
Well, I mean, well, the beginning of the season, I think what the problem was the fact that the offense just, honestly, the PK, we said the PKs first. At one point, the PK was like 25th. Like, they were an absolute, like, I think in the close to the 60% range. Like, that's how bad this PK was. Like, they were letting in goals, like, left and right. Like, you said the Ducks got six. Like, you go into a shootout against the Kings, it was an absolute just nightmare at the start of the season. You lose, Frederik Anderson, and unfortunately, Antti Raanta just couldn't really figure it out. Like, yeah, he won some games here and there, but it wasn't the Antti Raanta you saw the year before, where he, was basically undefeated at home. So, you get Anderson back. Like I said, 9-1-0 since his return. Like, he finished with, like, I think it was like 11-2 or 12-2 earlier, or I think it was 13 wins, whatever it was. And Pierre Kachekov played absolutely out of his mind, and he played really high end hockey. Once he kind of got settled in, and of course wasn't just tired because of carrying the team, because the Hurricanes they basically rotated ever since Anderson came back. They wrote just rotated their goalies every game, and that's why they stayed fresh. So I think just being able not to rely on one guy and having both of them kind of play off each other, I think, is what really helped. And I think it's more so if you lose one of them, then you might be running into a little bit of trouble, just because of the fact that Spencer Martin played one game since March 7th. And that was the season finale against the Columbus Blue Jackets. So I wouldn't say goaltending is a big weakness, but if you lose someone, then it's going to be very interesting to see how your second and now your third string goalies are going to try to play without your number one. So,
I mean, the defense too is really helps. I mean, they've got great defense and great system. So, I mean,
Tim Gleason, man, I don't know what it's about. Tim Gleason just knows how to make this defense work, and it's crazy to think that you got Dmitry Orlov as your, like, left side third pair with Jalen Chatfield, and they're consistently and analytically best defensive pair the Hurricanes have, just by analytics alone, not by stats.
It's amazing how good a good defensive unit can make a goaltender look. I mean, Connor Hellebuyck used to face the most shots every season, and then when they just cut it down a little bit, he looks like a Vezina caliber
100%.
goaltender.
It makes a huge difference.
Yeah, it's crazy.
All right, few quick questions to end here. X factor for the series. I'll start with you, Mike. What's X factor for the Islanders?
I think if I had to go with one right off the top of my head, I'd go with Pierre Engvall, who's kind of had a rough season, on and off season, but good shooter in the middle of the forward unit. If he get a few good, I mean, he scored a goal and an assist, so he's one of the few bright spots last year when the offense fell flat. So maybe he gets a few goals, and he would be the guy that it's like, oh yeah, he could be the X factor. Okay, one quick one is Ilya Sorokin. If he pulls an Aiden Hill, comes in game three or four, and then never looks back and leads the Islanders to a cup, that would be an X factor, because no one would expect it except for you could with Patrick Waugh. But okay, there you go. Two X
There you
Factors.
go. All right, Zach, what about you? X Factor for the Hurricanes.
I'm gonna kind of go down the same route Mike did, with just looking at the middle of the lineup guy, Jordan Martinook, man. You saw what he did in the second round against the Devils last year. If he starts getting hot, ooh, watch out. Because even like in January, he led the team with 9 goals. So
Yeah.
I mean, if he starts getting on a roll, Jordan Gretzky might be coming back out again for a second run around. So yeah, bangs the body. He create plays. He's got a good IQ. He's not gonna he's not gonna light the world on fire. But if he gets hot in the playoffs again like he did last year, I don't know, man. That's gonna be a whole big a lot of trouble with a guy like that. So yeah, I would say keep your eye on Jordan Martinook as an X factor for the Hurricanes.
There you go. Yeah, it's always those guys that you need to watch out for that just come out of nowhere. Definitely in the playoffs for sure.
Yeah.
All right, a difference maker, series MVP, and it could be for either team if you wanted to pick who's going to be the biggest difference maker in this series. I'll stay with you, Zach, on that one.
Oh man, like I said, it'll be so easy to pick Sebastian Aho just because it's Sebastian Aho, but I would say Jake Guentzel. My initial pick was if you asked me like 5 minutes ago, I'd say Seth Jarvis, but I don't know, man. Something about Jake Guentzel in the playoffs is just absolutely electric. And the fact of how him, Aho, and Jarvis have played with each other since they all got paired up, like after like 3 games of him being on the second line, I don't think they've got really a goal against them in any type of situation. 5-on-5 and power play, I think maybe one or two goals, and they've scored at least over 20. Maybe 30 together. Just some of that unlocking him with those two guys is going to be a problem. I think Jake Guentzel is going to be your series MVP just because of how good he is in the playoffs, and especially with these guys that he's playing with now.
He definitely steps it up, that's for sure. All right,
Hey,
Mike.
he can do without Crosby. We
Yeah. Oh
can
yeah.
put that to bed. We can put that
Seems
to
like
bed. He can do without
yeah.
Crosby.
He's fine.
Yeah.
Mike, what about you? Who would be your difference maker series MVP?
Yeah, for the Hurricanes, I would say Aho as well, where he's like the him and Jason Robertson in the West are like the hipster, like hockey expert guys who it's like the casual hockey fans are like, oh, that guy's good. And then all the hockey fans who watch all season are like, yeah, we know that. He's a top 20 player. Look at
It's
his
like
numbers.
thanks.
Like it's usually like when like ESPN, I mean, not to bash ESPN too much, when they do the broadcast and they're like, oh, by the way, have you noticed this guy's really good? And it's like, yeah, we've been watching them all season. Anyway,
Yeah, thanks
but
for
enough of
showing up.
that.
Thanks for showing up.
It's also the people on the East Coast who watch the West Coast teams who are like, we had no idea who these people were anyway. So that's the Aho and the for the Hurricanes wins the MVP. If the Islanders do it, Barzal, I think Brock Nelson would be the other one where it's like him on the second line, both creating scoring chances and finding the back of net himself. He was good last year against the Hurricanes. And he could, if he can, he could be that not just an X factor, but really on the second line, take over the series. So he would be the MVP if the Islanders end up winning this, I'd say.
If
Him and
I'm picking
Barzal.
if I'm picking someone from the Islanders, I go with Noah Dobson in my opinion.
I would just, you don't know how, I mean, he really has to take over the series at some point, but you don't know what his health situation is. So like, where I would normally say, yeah, he could be that guy, but like, just coming into it, I don't know if he's the guy who could take over the series like that. But yeah, he's a good pick too.
Yeah, for sure.
I'd say Brent Burns for the Hurricanes, same sort of way. Like he could take over the series at some point, the same way.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's do some bold predictions. I always love doing these. I'll start with you, Mike. A bold prediction for this series. It doesn't have to be for the Islanders. It can be just overall for this series.
I'll go with this would be really bold that Sorokin does take over in game 3 or 4. And if he does, then just never looks back where he takes over the series. Like in a game 3 or game 4, Varlamov struggles or is hurt and Sorokin does take over and wins the series for the Islanders. We're gonna have that ref sound bite me. It's just like we're gonna have to deal
Zach, what about you? A bold prediction for this series.
Well, I can't say a sweep is a bold prediction because I won't be surprised if people are predicting that. No offense, Mike. Oh, geez, bold prediction. I would say you're looking at Sebastian Aho for the Hurricanes. Gotta be clear on this. I say he's going to finish the series with like 7 goals.
That's a bold one. I think Jake Gensel finishes the series with 7 goals. That's my
Hey, I'll, yeah, I mean, it's just kind of like it for because you look at the points and stuff like that, and of course it's the playoffs, like everything gets thrown out the window and stuff like that. It's just like saying the sweep would be just kind of like let's not get crazy here. It is the playoffs, but let's not get stupid. But if we're going bold, I'd say Sebastian will get 7 goals or Fredrik Andersen and gets like 3 shutouts or two. We'll say 3 shutouts. Why not? Have fun with
There
it.
you go. Yeah, that's what you have fun with the bold predictions for sure. All right. Well, moving from the bold to the regular, what do you think about this series? What is it going? Who's winning it and how many games? I'll start with you, Zach. I'll stay with you.
Sweet. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I want to say Hurricanes in five. It's just you look at where the Metro is, how just top heavy with them and the Rangers are, and you look at the plus minus. Like the only other plus team was the Penguins at a five, and they didn't even make the playoffs. Everyone else is in the negatives. It's just you see the points difference, and like I said, yes, it doesn't really matter because it's the playoffs, but. Like Mike said, you gotta hope that the goaltending shows up. You gotta hope the defense plays well. You gotta hope the big boys score and you get your depth scoring. I guess I could see where it could have gone longer, sure, but I see Carolina taking it in five.
All right, Mike, what about you? Who's winning this one and in how many games?
Last year I picked Hurricanes in seven. They won in six. It was close.
Close enough.
Close enough.
I'd still say Hurricanes in seven. I think the Islanders closed the gap between a year ago. And now they've closed. It's still the gap between an elite team that's on the cusp of winning, competing for a cup, like that kind of tier is where the Hurricanes are. The Islanders are a good team, but how high is their ceiling? I think where it's like you could pull off an upset, but how deep in the playoffs they can go. I think the Islanders make it a close series. Patrick Waugh isn't up. I mean, in terms of like this could be a real good test for him going up against Brindamar. Would have been a bold prediction to say that they both like start fighting in one of the games, but that's a different story. We're like
I mean, if you've seen Rod Brind'Amour, I don't know. He can still strap him up and probably get a tuck or two and fight a couple people. So I mean, I really wouldn't fight Rod Brind'Amour. He's I would
Yeah,
I
of all the
will say
coaches,
yeah.
maybe of all the coaches, he's the one you don't want to go up against.
No. For Patrick Wadjis or Brendan Shanahan, I mean, you'll be fine. I will say this though about the Islanders, I'll give them a lot of credit for it. And I think that, like you said, Mike could make it a long series. Is the fact that you guys actually played playoff hockey for the last like month to get in the playoffs? Because I forget what date it was, but it was like, I think it was somewhere in March. I forget I think it was like the second or third week of March. It was like a 4.7% to make the playoffs. And like that, you go on a 6-game winning streak and you're in the playoffs. And you're like, I don't know. These guys have been playing playoff hockey since middle of March. I'd be very worried of how they're going to play. Because the Hurricanes, they didn't really have to worry as much. But I don't know. I forget who someone said it best. If you've got a playoff team going into the postseason already playing that type of hockey already, that can make a lot of teams who have kind of been like, could catch them off guard. So I will give the Islanders credit. They could make this a long series. Just because of how they've been playing since mid-March.
I would still give the Hurricanes the upper hand, but yeah, the one thing is, yeah, Patrick Waugh's really gotten the best out of this team and really coached this team up much better than what they were last season in the middle of this season. So you have to give him credit there. And I mean, yeah, the only other factor I'd say could lead to an upset is just goaltending, where it's like the Hurricanes, they've split goaltending starts, and this is a question a lot of teams have to deal with, where you split starts all season long, you get to the playoffs, you don't want to go back and forth in a series. So what do you do now? If you want, do you want to ride one goaltender? And the Hurricanes, I mean, they've had to answer this question every year, and it could be that could be an issue if it becomes one. But I'd still, yeah, I'd still, if it goes into a game seven, winner take all game, and then like you
And
have Jake Guentzel getting a hat trick or something.
it's well, and also too, like PNC Arena in game seven, despite how the Rangers series went a few years back, it's still one of the hardest places to play, and you're talking about game seven. So yeah, and how loud that barn can get, they consider one of the loudest houses in the league. And yeah, the last thing you want to do is go into game seven against Carolina in Raleigh, because that is a whole other factor. Like they've literally broken like paintings and pictures of their execs, because that's how, I'm not joking, like one of the execs, like panoramic shot of the stadium series, literally fell off the wall and broke in the middle of the
Oh,
game. So that, yeah, it gets pretty loud.
loud, yeah. Home ice, yeah, that can be a factor a lot of the time too. So yeah, it should be an interesting series. I think it's gonna be much different from last year for sure. Lots of differences. So thanks, Zach. Thanks, Mike, for coming on, discussing the series. We'll see who's back for round two, and who's still in here. So but make sure you're checking out all the articles at hockeywriters.com of the coverage of this series. Yeah, both these guys are going to be covering it from game one to whatever game seven, if it goes that far. And lots of good stuff coming up. So make sure you're checking all that out. Until next time, we'll see you on another playoff preview show here on the Hockey Writers YouTube channel.